Okay, I would like to thank the organizer for inviting me to this workshop, and thank you for attending to my talk. I will be talking about minimum class homomorphism problem for digraphs, and at the end I will talk about the least homomorphism problem as well. So these are based on joint works with Powell-Hell. So homomorphism problem, probably everybody knows. So we have two graphs or digraphs, relational structure, G and H. H is the target structure, and G is the input structure or input digraphs, graph. And the homomorphism problem asks whether an input graph G admits a homomorphism to H. There is a dichotomy known by software graph by Hell and Neuchâtel, and it says if H is a bipartite graph or H has a loop, then homomorphism problem to H is polynomial and NP-complete otherwise. The NP-complete part is the hard part. For digraphs, as far as I know, the dichotomy is not known, but there is a nice result by Bartow and others. It says if H is a smooth digraph, no source and no sink, every vertex has an in neighbor and out neighbor, and if the core of H is just a directed cycle, then homomorphism problem to H is polynomial and NP-complete otherwise. So basically, if I have a digraph, it has induced directed cycle of length 3 and induced directed cycle of length 4, then the homomorphism problem to H is NP-complete. If you have two induced directed cycle of different net length and they don't divide each other, then homomorphism problem to H is NP-complete. Otherwise, polynomial in the case of the smooth digraphs. So, minimum class homomorphism. So, again, we have G and H. H is the target structure, target digraph. Now, for each vertex of input graph G, there is a cost of mapping that vertex to a particular vertex of H. Right? The cost is a non-negative number, and the cost of a homomorphism is just the sum of the cost. And now, minimum cost homomorphism problem looks for minimum cost homomorphism from G to H. Well, the polynomial cases are much smaller than the... So the class of the polynomial case is much smaller than the class of the digraph for homomorphism, for ordinary homomorphism, particularly if you have a, if H is an edge and a loop on one of the vertices, then the problem becomes NP-complete because it's equivalent to finding a maximum independent set in a graph.
Of course, something about the input?
Yes, it comes with G. So actually, this problem as application comes from the industry, defense logistics, that I'm not allowed to talk about. All right. So if H, digraph H, has a particular structure, more precisely, if it has a special ordering, let's say these are the ordering of the vertices of H, and we say this ordering is a min-max ordering, if whenever I have this long arc, vi, vr, and vj, vs, then v minimum of I and j, and v minimum of s and r is an arc, and v maximum of I and j, and v maximum of s and r is an arc. So min-max comes from here. Right? So for bipartite graph, what is the min-max ordering for bipartite graph? We orient the edges. We orient the edges from left to right, and we apply the same definition, min-max ordering definition. So in the left, H has a min-max ordering, and in particular, C, B, A, D, E, F is the min-max ordering. But the edge on the right, C, B, A, D, E, F is not a min-max ordering. So basically, whenever I have two crossing edges, the lower edge and upper edge has to be there. So if I reorder A and B and D and E, then I get a C, A, B, B, E, D, F as a min-max ordering. So why min-max ordering is important? Because if H admits a min-max ordering, then minimum homomorphism to H is polynomial time solvable. Well, we relate the minimum cut homomorphism from G to H to a min cut in a network. So I'm not going to explain the detail, but the special structure of H allows us to do that. So which bipartite graph admits min-max ordering? So if H contains an induced cycle of length at least 6, or it contains a bipartite claw, bipartite net, and bipartite tent, then minimum homomorphism to H is NP-complete. Otherwise, H has a min-max ordering, and the problem becomes polynomial. These are the obstruction. Yes, bipartite net, tent, net, and claw, and the cycle, 6 cycle without C. Here it's missing, I guess. So if we don't have any of this obstruction, we get a min-max ordering. And the graph, the bipartite graph A that has min-max ordering is basically a proper interval pie graph. Using the result of Spinard and others, you can show H is a proper interval pie graph. So what is the proper interval pie graph? I have bipartite graph. I guess Powell will explain more, but I just give the definition. So he was saying, don't go to detail. So you have a bipartite graph. The vertices on the left are the interval, inclusion-free intervals on the real line, and the vertices to the right are the inclusion-free intervals to the right, and we put an edge between a vertex from the left and a vertex to the right if their intervals intersect. Well, we define proper interval diagraphs, or more precisely, monotone proper interval diagraphs. So we have, for each vertex of H, we have two intervals, IV and JV, and a point, PV. Now, and obviously we have an ordering. If PV is before PW, then the left endpoints of IV precede the left endpoints of IW, and left endpoints of JV is not after the left point of JW. No, IV contains another IW. This comes from the proper. Because they are inclusion free. For the JV, no JV contains another JW, and JW is not empty, and we put an arc if between U and V if IU meets JV. Well, we have this theorem. Diagraph H admits the min-max ordering if and only if it's a monotone proper interval diagraph. So I just state the. So if we have the presentation based on the point, then we get the min-max ordering, and if we have a min-max ordering, we can define the interval presentation. Powell will speak about later. No. So here I have an example: 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Is the min-max ordering, and there is a representation. All right. So how do we detect a diagraph H admits a min-max ordering? So basically, we are looking at forbidden obstruction. So why these obstructions are important? If you know the obstruction, then you can use them to construct the NP-completeness gadget. So we need two definitions, or maybe more. We say two walks, P and Q, the same length are congruent if they follow the same pattern of forward and backward arcs. So here I have P and Q. X1, X2 is a forward arc. Y1, Y2 is a forward arc. So P and Q are congruent. We say an arc, XI, YI plus 1, is a faithful arc from P to Q if it has the same direction as XI, XI plus 1. So here X2, X3 is a backward arc, and X2, Y3 is also a backward arc. So X2, Y3 is a faithful arc from P to Q. The dash arcs are the missing one. And Y1, X2 is a faithful arc from Q to P. So we say P and Q avoid each other if at least one of the xi, yi plus 1 and yi, xi plus 1 is not a faithful arc. Right? So here I have P and Q avoid each other because at least at each point one of them is missing. Right? So now here is the first obstruction. We say a pair of vertices, distinct vertices X and Y, is an invertible pair if there are two arcs, P and Q, P takes X to Y and Q takes Y to X, and P and Q avoid each other. So here I have an example. Again, X and Y is an invertible pair. So Y so basically I want to say invertible pair is an obstruction. The reason is if I put X before Y, this missing arc XY1 forced me to put X1 before Y1 if I want to get the min max ordering. And now if I walk along P, then eventually I must put Y before X. Right? If I put Y before X, and if I traverse the reverse direction of P, then this missing arc, X3X, forced me to put X3 before Y3, and eventually I must put X before Y. So I cannot define a min-max order. That's one of the obstructions. Okay, so based on this obstruction, we construct the auxiliary digraph, which is star. The vertices of which star are pairs, or the pairs, X, Y, X and Y are different, and we put an arc from X, Y to X prime, Y prime. If I have X, X prime, Y, Y prime as an arc, could be forward, backward, but one of the X, Y prime and Y, X prime is not faithful arc. Right? So here, there would be an arc from X, Y to X1, Y1. And it's symmetric. It would be an arc from X1, Y1 to X1. Right? So if I have an invertible pair in H, let's say U and V, U, V and VU are in the same weak component of H star. So if you forget the direction, U and V and V and U are in the same component of H star. Okay, so we assume that H doesn't have min-max ordering. So the goal is finding the overall min-max ordering. Yeah, sorry. We assume that H doesn't have invertible pair and we want to get a min-max ordering. There would be another obstruction, so I explain later. So if we look at H star, we have pair of components. Component C containing AB, then the dual component that contains BA. C and C prime are different. Now, what we need to do for each pair of C and C prime, we must choose one of them, right? Now, the goal is avoiding a circular chain. Suppose I have chosen some of the component and then at the end I get a circular chain. That's the contradiction. So if you look at one component by itself, if it contains a circular chain, then that would be another obstruction. Right? So you cannot get the min-max ordering. How do you get this obstruction? How do you get this circular chain? If you look at your H, and if it contains an induced oriented cycle of length greater than 1, then you get a circular chain inside. So we assume H doesn't have an induced cycle of length, net length greater than 1. Now, if we have these two, if we exclude these two obstructions, then we can get the min-max ordering. So the algorithm is pretty simple. When you look at the component that you haven't chosen, or you haven't discarded, then we look at the component with maximum height. We add it to the set of selected components. If we create a circular chain, we add the dual, and it works. But the analysis is complicated. So we need some definition. We say a walk is constricted if the level of the starting point is the lowest level and the level of the last vertex or last point is the highest level, is the highest. So here P is the constricted walk, but Q is not a constricted walk because the last vertex is not on the highest level. How do we get the level? You start with the first vertex, give level 0. If you go up or if you go forward, you increase the level. If you go backward, you decrease the level. So the length of the walk is the number of forward arcs minus the backward arcs. Here I have this walk, this path. The net length is 2. From here to there is 2, but the height is 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right. So we use this lemma quite often, I help. If you have two constricted walks, P1 and P2, and they have net length R, then there is another walk, P, that simulates the zigzagging over P1 and P2. More precisely, I have two homomorphisms, one F1 from P to P1, which maps the first vertex of P to the first vertex of P1, and the last vertex of P to the last vertex of P1, and the same for P2. There is a homomorphism F2 from P to P2. We call P the common pre-image of P1 and P2. Well, would be another lemma. If I have three vertices, X0, X1, X2, such that the component containing X0, X1 doesn't contain X0, X2, and doesn't contain X2, X1. And if I have three concurrent walks starting at X0, X1, X2, and if P and Q avoid each other, Q and T and Q and P avoid each other. So here I have an example. So I have X0, X1, X2, and three concurrent walks. The first two avoid each other, and I know that X0, X1, the component containing X0, X1 doesn't contain X0, X2, and doesn't contain X2, X1, then the third walk would be congruent with these two, would avoid the first two. All right, I need another lemma. So if I have a, the proof idea is that you assume at some point you create a circular chain, and you assume this is the first time that you have created this circular chain, and assume this circular chain has the minimum length. So if I have this circular chain, and there are walks for each xi, xi plus 1, there are pair of vertices, pi, qi, such that I can get from PIQI to XI, XI plus 1, and the walk doesn't go below then PI, PI plus 1, level of PIQI is less than, is 1 less than the level of xi xi plus 1. Here I have an example. So basically, if I have a circular chain at some level, and I have this board with this property, then I can go one level down and get another circular chain. So basically, this way I can get a contradiction. So if you look at this example, from P to Q2, there is a walk to X2, X3, and if I have this circular chain, then there would be another circular chain on a lower level containing P0, Q0, and then Q1. So basically, Q0, Q1, and X1, X2 would be in the same component. And then P3, so I have another circular chain on the lower level. So sorry, there is another lemma, and that's it. So if I have a circular chain, and so basically we want to say when we add a component, the last component, this component contains only one of the pair of the circular chain, right? So if there is a walk of length 0 from x0, xn, x0 to xi, xi plus 1, as this walk doesn't go below the level of xn, x0, then I get a shorter circular chain. So what does it mean? It means when you add the last component, this last component adds only one pair to this circular chain. Right? And now I try the reverse. The reverse also adds only one pair to the circular chain. So I add x0, xn, then I close this chain. I add now the reverse component, x0, xn. That's the same holds. So there would be another chain between x0, xn. So I can combine these two chains and I get an earlier chain in the an earlier chain, and I get a contradiction. So this is the basic idea. I apply this idea to several other problems, and it works. Well, finally, we have this statement. If H is a monotone proper interval digraph, then H admits a min-max ordering. Okay. And H has no invertible pair and no induced oriented cycle of length of length greater than 1, then no weak component of H star contains a circular chain. And then from 4 we get to 1. So what happened when you look at the directed cycle, homomorphism problem to a directed cycle is polynomial. Minimum homomorphism problem to a directed cycle is polynomial. If you look at the directed cycle of length 3, then you need to try 3 different homomorphisms. You map x to vertex 0, you get one homomorphism. You map x to vertex 1, you get another homomorphism. And from all these 3, you take the cheapest one. So there should be another class of the polynomial cases. Right. So you assume H is homomorphic to the directed cycle K. If H is not homomorphic to the directed cycle of length K, then minimum homomorphism to H is NP-complete. And now we get the level for H. Level 0, 1, up to K minus 1. If you look at the vertices, if you look at the edges of H, the arcs goes from level I to level I plus 1, and then eventually from level K minus 1 to level 0. Right? Now, if I have an ordering of H, such that the restriction of this ordering between VI and VI plus 1 is a min-max ordering, then we say H has a K-min-max ordering. Right? So, if H has a min-max ordering, then H has a K-min-max ordering for any K. But the reverse is not true. So directed 3 cycle has no min-max ordering. So here I have an example of 3 min-max ordering. right? Now, we have another theorem. Says if H has a K-min max ordering, then minimum order sent to H is polynomial. Right? So how do we detect the K-min max ordering? Again, we start, I'm not going to explain the proof. The proof is the same. So about the construction, we construct HK. So HK is an induced subgraph of subdiagraph of H star. And the pair, the vertices of HK are the pairs that are on the same level, right? And now we say U and V is a K-invertible pair if we can join U, V, and V, U in HK with a oriented walk. And now the theorem, it says, suppose H is homomorphic to CK, if H admits the K-min max ordering, and, if H admits the K-min max ordering, then H does not contain any unbalanced induced oriented cycle of other length and K. So if you want to get a K-min max ordering, 3-min max ordering, H shouldn't have, for example, 6 cycles, right? The induced cycle should be of length 3. And it shouldn't have a K-min max, a K-invertible pair, right? So this is the characterization, but for the MP completeness, well, if H is has induced subgraph H prime and the problem for H prime is NP complete, then it's NP complete for H. And we quite often use this nice theorem by Alexeev and Lozin. If you have a tripartite graph, even if you know the tripartite set, then it's hard to find the maximum independent set. Right? Now we have another complete lemma. So suppose you have a target diagraph H with two special vertices X and Y, and you have input diagraph S with two special vertices S and T, and there is a cost of mapping S to H. Cost of mapping S and T to X is 1. Cost of mapping S and T to Y is 0. Y is the chip vertex. And there are 3 homomorphisms or homomorphism F that takes X, S to X and T to Y, and the total cost is 1. It's a homomorphism that maps S to X and T to X, total cost is 2, and the homomorphism that maps S to Y and T to X, total cost 1, but there is no homomorphism that maps both S and T to the chip vertex. So the cost is at least a big number. Then minimum homomorphism to H is NP complete. Here I have an example, S, and this is the H. Right? I can map S to this path, and the total cost would be 1. So the first vertex goes to X, the last one goes to Y. Can map S to this path, the total cost would be 1. I can map S to Y and T to Y on this path, total cost 1. But I cannot map both S and T to Y, because there is no homomorphism. All right. And we have another theorem. If I have 2 induce unbalance-oriented cycle with different net length in H, then minimum homomorphism is NP complete. So now the dichotomy is that we look at H. If there is some K that H has a K-min max ordering, then minimum homomorphism to H is polynomial time solvable, and otherwise NP complete. Right. Now, what would happen for least homomorphism? So in least homomorphism, again we have target structure, target digraph H and input digraph G. And now the costs are either 0 or 1. Now the goal is finding a homomorphism from G to H with total cost 0. So there is a dichotomy for graphs by Feder, Hell and Huang. And in the special case for bipartite graph, says if complement of H is a circular arc graph, then least homomorphism is polynomial and NP complete otherwise. So what is a circular arc graph? So the vertices are the circular arc, and I put an edge between U and V if AV and AU do not intersect. So here I have a bipartite claw and the representation with the arcs. So here A and B are adjacent. A and B do not intersect. A and F are not adjacent. Then A and F intersect. Right? But so now the theorem, yes, the theorem says if H is a circular arc graph, least homomorphism is polynomial. And basically, they show there is a majority operation. Now, surprisingly, the bipartite graph H that is a circular arc graph admits mean ordering. So, what is the mean ordering? You order the vertices on the left, and you order the vertices on the right. And if two edges cross, the lower edge has to be there. So for example, here E and D and C and F, they cross. So EF is an R. And CD is an H. Right? So what happened for digraphs? You're appealing to Bulatov. H is a digraph, and for every pair of vertices of H, say A and B, there exists a polymorphism, which this polymorphism over A and B is either majority or multiple, or if there is a binary polymorphism, over AB is a semi-lattice polymorphism, then least homomorphism is polynomial time, solvable. And otherwise, NP complete. So if you look at that, so for every pair, we require one polymorphism, either semi-lattice, majority, and monster. So as Mark explained yesterday, the polymorphism is just a homomorphism from HK to H. The vertices are the tuple, K-tuple, and we put an arc from U1 to UK to the another tuple if UIVI is an arc in H. Now, a polymorphism is conservative if the answer of U1, U2 up to UK is one of the UI. And now from now on we talk about the conservative polymorphism. So I guess you know the semi-lattice polymorphism, which is commutative and associative and majority. If I have 2A, 1B, the answer is A. And then the ternary polymorphism multiself, if I have 2A, 1B, the answer would be B, if B is either at the beginning or at the end. Right? So we define the mean ordering for digraphs in the same way as we define the min-max ordering. You have an ordering, and if there are VI, VR arcs, and Vj, Vs arc, then V minimum I and j, and V minimum of SNR is an arc. Right? So this polymorphism is commutative and also associated the mean ordering. Now if I have any of these polymorphism, then as a global polymorphism, for all over every pair you have a polymorphism that is majority, then this homomorphism is polynomial. This is the result by Feder and Vardy. Is that correct? And so? Maybe not Maltsev. And also it's true for the Maltsev. And it's true for semi-lattice. Now the new theorem says if you have a digraph H, if H contains a digraph after the triple, then this homomorphism to H is NP-complete. And if H is that free, then this homomorphism is polynomial time solvable. So we can detect whether H contains a that. And also we show you just need two polymorphisms. You don't need multiple polymorphisms. Two polymorphisms. One is semi-lattice on some pairs, and another one is majority over the other pairs. And if you have these two, if you have a that-free digraph, H has these two polymorphisms, and this homomorphism would be polynomial. So what is a that? I'm not going to explain it well. But basically, the that includes the abstraction for semi-lattice and majority. So it's a digraph that contains the abstraction for semi-lattice and majority. So again, I go to the old definition. I say P and Q are congruent if they follow the same pattern of forward and backward arcs. And now we say if P and Q are congruent, we say P avoids Q if at each point xi by I plus 1 is not a faithful arc. Right? Here if I look at P and Q, x1, x2 is a forward arc and x1, y2 is missing. But y1, x2 is a faithful arc from Q to P. So Q doesn't avoid P, but in this example P avoids Q. So an invertible pair in H, which is an obstruction to semi-lattice, so we say U and V is an invertible pair if there are two congruent arcs, P and Q. P takes U to V and Q takes V to U, and P avoids Q. And there are two congruent arcs, P prime and Q prime. If P prime takes V to U and Q prime takes U to V, and P prime avoids Q prime. Now, P prime could be the reverse of P and Q prime could be the reverse of Q. I have an example here. Here X and Y is invertible pair. So P avoids Q, P prime avoids Q prime. So if I have invertible pair, I want to say there is no semi-lattice over X and Y. If the answer of X and Y is X, it has to be one of them. If the answer of X, Y is X, then if I follow P, then this missing arc says I must put X1 before Y1, or the answer of X1, Y1 has to be X1, and then eventually the answer of YX has to be Y. So you cannot define f of x, xy to be x. The same for p prime and q prime. If f of xy or yx is y, then eventually f of xy has to be x. That's a contradiction. So that's an obstruction. So again, we construct an auxiliary digraph H plus based on the definition. I put an arc, directed arc, from x5 to x1, y1, because this arc is missing, right? But it's not symmetric. So you put an arc from u where to u prime, v prime. U, u prime, v prime are arcs, but u, v prime is not in the same direction. So you construct this H plus, and again, so if u where is an invertible pair, then u where and where u are in the same strong component of H plus. As I said, it's symmetric. So there is another, basically the abstraction for majority is called permutable triple, which I'm not going to talk about it. So now if we combine the abstraction for majority and abstraction for semi-lattice, we get that. So the definition is a little bit complicated. So here an example that contains a dat, basically is a dat. You have invertible pair AB and ABC is a permutable triple. It's an abstraction to majority. So its homomorphism to this digraph is NP-complete. I skip. So the NP completeness proof, if H contains a dat, then we show that least homomorphism to H is as hard as tree coloring in some cases, and it's as hard as not all equal tree set. So you need both of them, both reductions. And if H doesn't contain that, using this auxiliary graph H plus, you can define two polymorphisms F and G. And we can test the existence of that in H in polynomial time. So we can characterize the digraph that admits the majority polymorphism, the global majority polymorphism. And also we can characterize the digraph that admits the Mansev polymorphism. But for the semi-lattice, we don't know the answer. So basically, if I give you a digraph, can you decide whether it meets the mean ordering or not? So that's an open question. And I guess I stop here. Thank you.